Here's what I want to do. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show up and he's going to ring your bell. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show up and give you a word. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show up and rush into this room, not because I said on my authority or my goodwill or even the word that I'm teaching. I believe God wants to do this in you. We're approaching this new different series with much prayer and fasting, I was told. And that you guys have been praying and seeking the Lord. Here's why you're seeking the Lord. Because it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and what Jesus wants to do in you. But before he can cause revival outside, he has to cause revival inside. Before you can wake people up, you have to be woken up. Before you can now do what God wants you to do, you have to set aside your agenda and all the things that you have to find what God has in you. And I have one purpose and one purpose alone, to ring the bell of the Holy Spirit and watch him do what he needs to do through you. Now, I'm not going to thump your head on this. I might ask Reverend Tony to come up and I might hit him just because I like him. But he said this on a good authority, you can't get to the shift pulpit unless you wear your skinny jeans. So I'm doing it, okay? I'm an old man wearing skinny jeans. I don't know how that looks. I have my beautiful wife with me, who we are now, Pastor Joanna. This month, we're celebrating 29 years of marriage. Wow. Wow, he is old. 29 years, he is old. I have my son Jacob here, my daughter Janae in the house. I'm so happy. My heroes are my children. My biggest fans are my family. We do a lot of stuff here at The Rock, and I'm so excited to come to you today. But you know what? The hero of heroes is Jesus Christ, and I'm here on an assignment. So bow your head and close your eyes, and let's seek Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for ringing the bell of revival and reviving us. I thank you for the awesome opportunity you've given me. I do not take it for granted. I pray your glory show up. I pray your purpose and your plan manifest. I pray that you shine, Jesus, shine bright. And Father, without you, we could do nothing. So I come under your care, your authority, your will, your way. Father God, we do not teach principles of men by the authority of men. We come under the authority and the power of the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. Under Jesus, we stand. And as we open up your book and as we open up the principles of what you want these young people to see, revive them, spark something inside of them that's so supernatural that it's undeniable. Change them from inside out, not because I say, because you want. Not because it's my mandate, but it's yours. Father, you can't do anything with a dead person but revive them. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to wake up your church. Yes, Shift is your church. And you're going to wake them up to do the purpose and see something that they've never seen before. I thank you, Lord, that with great care, much prayer, and much agony, Father God, you've been waiting for this to happen. You've been wanting this from this church. You've been asking for it. So, Father, we're on assignment. Every pulpit speaker, every guest speaker that's coming is on assignment. And they're going to give nuggets to these young people that they're going to last a lifetime. And I thank you, Lord, that we come under that power and under that authority. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, like I said, it's an awesome privilege to be here with you tonight. I'm going to open up the scriptures. Is that okay? My title of this message is called Revive. Revive. Jesus rung the bell, reviving all mankind long time ago. I'm going to use a backdrop of a man that he handpicked. That man is no different than me or you, but that man lined up with the purpose of God to do what God wanted him to do. You might ask yourself, why are you in this room? I just decided to come to Shift. I decided to get excited about this new series. I was invited by a special guest. I come because I heard something was happening and I want to participate. You're not here by accident. You're all here by God's design and God's assignment. Every one of you have a purpose and a plan in their life. And this plan has to be unfolded by Jesus handing it to you. and him giving you the assignment, the authority to do it. You might have things in your own mind of your expectations of what you're going to get out of this next month. But I'm telling you, God is ready to write your script and your agenda. He's ready to turn over your tables and turn over your heart to give you God's agenda to do something that you couldn't do by yourself. He's ready to open up your heart, open up your mind, and open up the world to you if you let him. It's all your choice. The bell was rung a long time ago. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus rang that bell. He said to the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Take the gospel to all mankind, baptizing and teaching them and the principles of me." And what he laid hands on them, not with the mallet, but with the Spirit, a spiritual authority. So when he unfolded the gospel to the disciples, he gave them a mandate and a purpose and a calling and anointing to break the hard ground. He gave them anointing and passion, and he equipped them with the miraculous. So wherever the disciples showed up, crazy things happened, like salvation coming from all angles. So God opened up with a spiritual mallet. Has anybody really hit you hard? I mean, really, really, really hard. I remember in high school, I got hit real hard right in the stomach. And I thought I was a big guy. And somebody said, "You know what? You're not as big as my punch." And I said, "Yes, I am." It reminds me of a story about my son, but I won't tease him. But I said, "You know, I am." So I toughed up, and this guy slugged me. And I said, "He goes, are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, I'm fine." You know how you get. You try to save face. I couldn't. But there was a spiritual slugging to these disciples. He gave them something that they couldn't do by themselves. He gave them a plan and a purpose. They were a band of misfits and throwaways. Nobody wanted these guys. They were, one theologian called them, a bunch of dirty fishermen that had no hope or no prayer to be successful in life. Then he hands them something. We've seen it in the Passion of the Christ. We've seen it in the gospel. Matthew 28 unfolds the mandate of letting them participate with his own power and his own authority to do something that humanity's never seen. Salvation, the God-man shows up, dies, resurrects, and imparts to these dead men a revived spirit and a supernatural calling and the divine hope. They never had it, folks. You could read the Gospels prior to them having Jesus, and then after. In the book of Acts, you see chapter 2 unfolding, unleashing of the church. An unveiling of something so supernatural, it took the world by storm. As a matter of fact, the global world leaders were saying, "These guys, these band of disciples are upsetting the whole wide world. We've got to put a stop to it. They're taking over. They're a cult. There's something beyond our own control. These guys are passionate. They have authority. They have a mandate. And when they get up, they break hard ground and people get saved. Wherever they show up, revival breaks out." And when this revival broke out in Acts chapter 2, they tried to rein it in. And when they tried to rein it in and tried to stop it, you know how many know when God's in control, you can't stop God. You cannot stop what he wants to do. You might resist him, you might fight him, but he will always win. And in Acts chapter 2, you see the church igniting and reviving and birthing. Something inside of them changed. Something inside of them sparked. Something inside of them, a purpose, a plan, a destiny, a focus. They were never as focused as they were with the birthing of the church. When that happened, it took the world by storm. And there was a man who was destined to put a stamp to this thing called the church. And in Acts chapter 9, and this is who I'm using, the Apostle Paul had a mandate and a purpose to squelch the disciples' work. He was on good authority with the religious leaders to take this edict and this mandate to say, wherever the church is at, you take care of it, Paul. If there's a band of disciples meeting at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, I want you to set a bunch of thugs, thump them in the head, arrest them, and get them by the throat, and in some cases even kill them. That was his mandate. So all he wanted to do was execute what he thought was God's plan. The problem is, it wasn't God's plan to kill his own church. But this guy, Paul, didn't know that before he got saved. He had no idea. He was trained. He had the authority. He was smart. He knew how to communicate. He was an attorney, skillful in law, according to the word of God. But he had the wrong message. He had the wrong heart, and he had the wrong principle. In Acts chapter 9, he shows up again. This is what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you about. Acts chapter 9, if you have your word of God, turn to Acts chapter 9 for me. Everybody still with me? Okay. They told me not to preach long, so I was told that my mic is turning off in about 15 minutes. I better hurry up. Let me read this. And you got to get this, okay? Let me read this. It says in Acts chapter 9, meanwhile, while Saul was uttering threats and breathing, eager to kill the Lord's followers, so this guy meant business, he wasn't about to break up the band of misfits. He was about to kill them. Hey, have you had any death threats? Has anybody been after you like this? I mean, people have said things, hey, I'll kill you, but they've never followed through. This guy wanted to follow through. He said this. He said, so he went to the high priest and requested letters to address to the synagogues of Damascus, asking for their cooperation. Verse 2, to arrest any followers of the way found there, to bring them back, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. And as he was approaching Damascus on his mission, see that? On his mission. It wasn't God's mission. It was Paul's mission. It was their mission. It was the Jews' mission. He said this, the light from heaven shone all around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying this, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he asked this question, who are you, Lord? And Saul asked, and the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Then the men of Saul stood speechless, and they heard from a sound and a voice, but they saw no one. Saul picked up himself, verse 8, from the ground. He opened up his eyes, but he was blind. So his companions led him into Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days. He did not eat or drink anything. There was a believer in Damascus by the name of Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in vision, calling Ananias. And he said, yes, Lord, he replied. And the Lord said, go over to the street called Straight. There in the house of Judas, you'll find a man and ask for him, a man from Tarshish. His name is Saul. He's praying for me right now. I have shown him in a vision of his name. Ananias is coming, laying hands on him to see him again. Verse 13, but the Lord exclaimed to Ananias, I've heard many talks about these terrible things this man has done to believers. So evidently, the talk of the town was this guy kills Christians. God picks a Christian to talk to this killer. The killer says, he says, I don't know about this. Verse 14, he's authorized by leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon his name. Lord, are you trapping me? I'm going to a killer's house. Is this kind of dumb? That I'm going to a guy who wants to bonk me in the head and arrest me? What are you doing? Verse 15 says this. He said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take the message of the Gentiles and the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I'll show him how much he must suffer for my sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, Lord Jesus has appeared to you in the road. He sent me that he might regain your sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit." And instantly something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. He got up, was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food and regained his strength. Number one, this is what the Lord says to you. If you want revival inside of you, you need to recalibrate yourself. Recalibration doesn't happen by just managing your agenda. Recalibration happens by flipping your agenda upside down. But pastor, my agenda is to go to school, make a lot of money. My agenda is to find a godly girl at Shift and get married. All the single guys look down. All right. Recalibration is an adjustment, but difficulty if necessary for a focused life. See, when Paul came to the scene in the impasse of Acts chapter 9, there was a radical readjustment of his heart. You're going this way, now you're going this way. You came to kill the church, now you're a part of the church. You came to now cause violence, now you came to bring love. You came to cause disunity and rein people in chains. Now you come to break chains. There was a readjustment of himself. You might be sitting here tonight and say, "You know what? I'm set. I know my future. I know the plan. I know what I need to do." Here's what I say to you. Watch it. Those are dangerous words to give Jesus. Because he's going to flip your tables and he's going to recalibrate you. He's going to readjust you. He's going to find it easy to tip over your own little agenda. Pastor, what do you mean my little agenda? I have a great future. I have a great hope. Doesn't that the Bible say that? Yes, but if it's your agenda and not God's agenda, you will fail. What's God's agenda? Wow, that's a great, great question. This is why you're here tonight. This is why you're here, because God wants to settle the score with you, 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 and you. What God's agenda for you is. And for God's agenda for you is not just to sit and rot in a service. God's agenda for you is to turn you upside down and watch what he has for you. The Apostle Paul was radically changed because he had a radical God encounter. Recalibration means to adjust something. So something can be used accurately, the exact way, a measuring tool, a tweak, a modification, a dial that just had to kind of turn just a little bit. And that's what God wants to do to you spiritually. Some of you are on the right track, but God needs to retweak your dial, retweak your emphasis, retweak your focus, retweak your mission. And once he does that and you let him, you watch what happens. A whole new world opens up to you. This adjustment comes with a price. And this is where people get stuck, right in this point. God, change me, but not yet. This great theologian of the early church, St. Augustine, was a young man just like you. He came to an impasse in his whole life where God was going to use him supernaturally, but he started falling in love with some girls that were around him. There was nothing wrong with that. His prayer, and it's documented, St. Augustine wrote it this way: "Lord, make me holy, make me righteous, make me pure, but not yet." Really? That's what he said? Yes, because he knew he wanted his heart. His desire was to do something he wanted to do. And there's the conflict shift. Here it is. Here's a prophetic word for you. You're going down a river that you cannot stop. There is a youth revival that is taking this world and this United States by storm, and you're a part of it. And you might not think so, And you might hear of it, and you might see of it, and you might talk of it because you're on social media and you're listening to the videos and you're up with the know of who's doing anything with young adults ministry. Well, I'm here to tell you, this church has been commissioned and mandated for revival, and you're a part of it. So let him readjust you. Let him readjust you. Let him recalibrate you. As he was approaching Damascus on a mission, the light shone around him and it fell to the ground and he heard a voice. What you guys need is a radical God encounter. If you have a radical God encounter, there's no turning back. You don't care about anything anymore. When God touches you and touches your soul, all of a sudden everything gets twisted around inside of you. And I've been told for too long, it doesn't happen to young people. It doesn't happen to young adults. It doesn't happen. They have their own agendas. They're doing their own thing. They're not committed to nothing. They don't commit to nothing. I'm here to say that's a lie from the pit of hell. As a matter of fact, you guys are the one that God is picking. You're the church. You're not Shift. You're the church of Jesus Christ. Now, for Shift to get what God wants, they have to shift. Pretty clever, ain't I? But Pastor, you don't know what I'm against. You don't know what the decisions I need to make. Right now, I'm in the decisions and wavering. I don't know what to do next. I challenge you. Oh, I dare you to put it on the table of the Lord and see what he does with it. Watch it, because God's going to show up and he might bunk you like he did the Apostle Paul. I'm telling you, when this happens, all things change. To move forward, you have to love change. You cannot change without changing. I don't know how people do it. I want to lose weight, but then you don't want to stop eating. I don't get it. I want to be fit, but you don't want to work out. I want to buy all the fitness videos. I want to join the best health spa around. I want to watch people work out. You will never be fit watching the videos. The only way you're going to be fit is jump on it, man. I don't care if it's 2 pounds, 3 pounds, and yes, if it's only a half a pound, doing something is better than doing nothing. Do you understand? So for you to want change, you got to want to change. The want to is the problem. Paul actually wanted to change. He just didn't know what to do right. He was on a mission. He had good authority. He had a principle. He had education. But he had the wrong message, and he was the wrong messenger, and it was a wrong mandate. God gives it to him, and he flips it all around. Number two. You have to reevaluate. You can't be on God's assignment managing your own agenda. How does that work? Okay, Lord, here's my agenda. In 5 years, I want to be here. Here's my agenda. You know, when I meet Mr. Wright, this is kind of what I'm going to have. 1.3 kids. I'm going to go to this school. I'm going to go to this church. And by then, I'm going to do this. I'm okay for goals. But when I take him to the Lord, he seems to uproot all those things. When I take him to Jesus, he always has a better goal for me. In my life, and those of you that know my testimony, this little broken kid thought, you know what, he's a misfit, he's a reject, he's afraid of people, he's afraid of everything, he ain't going to do anything. That's what the devil told me. He didn't know that he was going to heal me, restore me, to change the world. Now I have a mandate to do that, not because I'm telling you, we're changing the world. And the reason why we're changing the world is because I got on God's agenda. And I said, here's my agenda, God, it doesn't make any sense. Here's your agenda, it makes sense. What's God's agenda? To love God, to worship him, to know his voice, to follow his word, and to do his will. Why is that so hard to young people? Here's why. Because everything's in our head that's not that. Everything's in our head. We have a list. We have documentation. We know how to do it and what to do it. Here's some of your dilemma. I know because I've worked with some of you. And I've coached and mentored some of you. Here's your dilemma. Your battle is in your mind. You already have it all scripted. You already know the answer before we even ask you. And that's where the Apostle Paul was. The Apostle Paul had it all right, but he had it all wrong. You get it? When you come to God's agenda, he wants to flip it. He wants to flip his assignment. He wants you to now reevaluate. Get up to the city, and you must be told what to do. Why didn't God download everything to Paul at one time? Paul, Saul, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your destiny. I'm going to show you what you're going to do. He tells him, get up and get out of here. That's all he tells him. Here's what happens, young people. We want the whole roadmap, and God's going to give you the next step. I'm here, Lord. I'm 22 years old. By 29, give me everything I'm going to do. It doesn't work that way. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, I have the word that lights the path. You know, back in the day when David was around, the only light they had was a candle. They didn't have the beam. They didn't have the big old, light my path, my whole road. All he did, and the word of God teaches this, is he's going to light every one of your obedient steps. If you're disobedient, you're not going to go down the right path. But he's not going to light the whole path. I didn't know I was going to marry my wife. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. As a matter of fact, I didn't want to be one. I didn't know I was going to run a business. I didn't want to run a business. I didn't know I was going to be a public speaker. I didn't want to be a public speaker. Here God opens up a door and I start walking through it. He puts fire in me so I can communicate his passion to people. God will light your path if you let him. But here's what some of you guys do. Light it up, Lord. Really? Really? You just blew out the candle. You're in the dark. Yeah, you are. I don't know what to do. All we could do, brother, is now pray. You just lit it out. You just gave it up. Serious? You know, it takes guts to keep the candle lit. It takes guts to follow God's agenda and not your agenda. It takes guts to be able to him write the script for your life and not you. Here's why. Because you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. There's too much investment in this room to stay here in this building. You guys hear me? There's too much in you to stay where you're at. That's why God wants to readjust you. Retweak you, recalibrate you. What else does he want to do? Number three, he wants to redirect you. Being blinded from your own vision enables you to see God's vision. That's how it works. The first thing he did to Paul was blind his eyes. Paul, I love you, but lights are out. Why? Because Paul had his own agenda. He had his own vision. He needed God's vision. And when he was blind, the Bible says he was there praying. What do you think the brother was praying? Lord, I've been disobedient. Lord, show me. I can't see, but if you let me see, I promise to do your will. Imagine if that happened to you. Boy, God got a hold of me. And you show up like three blind mice to shift. Oh my God, you got to be led by the hand like this brother was. Well, this is exactly what has to happen to some of us. We have to be blinded by our own vision to see God's vision in us. Because if we can't see past the limitations that we have ourselves. The limitations that you carry inside of you are too big for you. They need to be controlled by God. These limitations and this blindness, this is where Paul took himself in verse 9, said his friends, his cronies, stirred around speechless. Have you ever been around somebody who just kind of observes people this way? Like, you know, some nice girl walks in the room and everybody's like, oh, okay, praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, hey, brother, how you doing? That's what his friends are doing. This guy got zapped. He's on the ground. He can't see. And all of his friends are saying, what happened to our boss? He's on the floor. What's wrong with him? I hear a voice, but I can't put two and two together. It's not making sense to me. I pray to God that you have this kind of God encounter. Because without this kind of God encounter, you're not going to go anywhere, my friends. You need a radical touch by Jesus Christ. Not just to kind of touch you, to tingle you. You know, real touch of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus shows up, man, all things are made new and all he redesigns everything beautiful. But you need to let him. The Apostle Paul became blind to his own vision to see God's. Picked him up off this ground, the ground, and he opened up his blind eyes. A redirective life only points one way to that street called straight. Only one way to Jesus. There's only one way to God's agenda, and it's his agenda and his way. Number four, reformation takes. True reformation requires a transformation of heart. Transformation of heart works like this. Lord, I need you to deposit in me what you want inside of me. I was talking to my family today and I said this. If Christians would give 2% of their time, effort, money, and resource, this whole world would be changed. Here's what we have today, a culture of Christians that just want to do their own thing. They want to do it on their terms. They want to do it on their way. And please don't get in my way because I'm going to bite your head off. I will serve you for 15 minutes and that's it. I will volunteer. Then the volunteer time is turned off and I go home and on my Facebook and on my Twitter and I'm blasting of where I'm at. Our agenda needs to be disrupted. We have cute, kind, little Christian following everywhere, doing everything, but God's agenda. Here's God's agenda. You might think, what are you talking about? You're talking about a radical commitment. Yeah, I'm talking about a radical life. I'm talking about a radical commitment. I'm talking about a radical life. I'm talking about, you know what? You give it up, man. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to reform. I'm ready to change myself and my city. I'm ready to change me and my family. Reformation is a change from the inside out that causes a movement, not just for you, not just for me, but for the lost and the dying. You know why I want to see, I asked Reverend Antonio today, how about shift tripling? You know why I want more shifters here? Because more people will get to heaven. Makes sense. Why not grow to capacity? Why not explode in street evangelism? Market night is ripe and ready to evangelize. Hello, Redlands Inland Community. Hello, we just had terrorist attacks right here. They're willing to die for their own stupid agendas. And we can't? We can. And you can. And here's what I'm believing. You will. Because reformation starts from the inside out. Lord, I want to change. This guy, Martin Luther, when he came on the scene, he was just a nice little cute German priest that was pretty smart. Then God got a hold of him. And he said this to himself. The church is wrong. And I'm going to put a thesis together, a book of writings, and an essay of where they're wrong. And I know I'm going to get them upset. As a matter of fact, they're going to want to kill me, but that's okay. And he typed out or penciled out, because there was no typewriter back then, he penciled out a 95 thesis, which was an essay on where the church was asleep. And he pinned it on the door of the chapel. And when the priests came and they opened up that door, they said, whoa, pray tell, what is this? Someone left us a big note. And they unfolded Martin Luther's document and his thesis. And here's what they said. Who wrote this? And he had it signed, Martin Luther, a German priest. And when they saw, and they looked at it, what did it say? This is where the church is wrong. This is where the church needs a revival. This is where the church needs a change. This is what you're not doing. This is what you need to be doing. And God is going to have something against you if you don't change. That little document changed the whole religious world. We're a part of that through Reformation. If you understand church history, We came from the Protestant wing that protested against Rome, and that's why you're sitting in a seat right now called a Christian church and not a Catholic church. It took one man that was pretty smart, that was pretty bold, to upset the whole church world. And he said this: I don't even need to be a priest. You don't need to be a priest. There's a thing called priesthood of the believers. And he upset the whole religious community. And thousands of priests became regular common shop owners, goldsmiths, and leather workers. And thousands of transformed through that one little document, because God used him so supernaturally that he upset the whole religious world. You know what? We're ready for a 95 thesis now. We're ready to pin it on the door and to say, this is where we're wrong, and this is the adjustments we need to make, and we're going to cause the change, and we're going to cause the revival. It's in us. It's in you. Don't wait for the church leadership to do it. You do it. Someone needs to evangelize my school. You evangelize it. Someone needs to feed the poor. You feed the poor. Someone needs to go to all nations. You go to all nations. Someone needs to get educated and get real smart, because there's a bunch of dumb people right here. Then you get educated and get smart. You start a business. You use it for God. One of the things that blessed me about the missions conference is when that brother got up who was a billionaire saying, I'm seeding the church with billions of dollars that I made because I'm building kingdom with my business. That was pretty cool to me. He got out of the church world. And he got into the marketplace of the church and he transformed with business opportunities. I'm a firm believer. The Rock Church of World Outreach Center doesn't need no more pastors, needs priests and leaders to stand up and to take the world by storm. Take your position. Everyone has an ownership. Everybody has a piece. I'll conclude with this. To revive one's life, you need to recalibrate, reevaluate, redirect, and reform. There's a video I want to show. Show that video right now. Look at this brother. Look at this guy. This guy's crazy.
Looks good. I checked the level this morning, and it's like holding even right at $2,000. So, yeah, man, I think we're in there, dude. It's just a matter of bucking up and hucking it at this point. We just came here today just to kind of get an idea. You know, this is my third time here in like 3 weeks. We kind of think it's like between 160, 180 feet tall. Well, you know, I just need to get there and look at it and like see how she's looking, see how I'm feeling. But yeah, I'm pretty fired up, man. Maybe it's something that I really want to do enough to throw caution to the wind and try to step up the bar just one more notch.
He's got this willingness to put himself in harm's way in order to test that skill and that judgment.
I decided that I was going to go be there for my friend, but I was definitely very uncertain about how good of an idea it was.
Hi, Mom, it's Tyler. Just wanted to let you know that with a rush, and we're going to go just do a little bit of boating, and hopefully I'll make it home tonight.
This is a major step up from what anybody has done before, so it's kind of an unknown realm a little bit for kayaking and what the human body can take off of a waterfall.
Thank you. are you, bud? Where are you, buddy? Oh, he's out, he's out, he's in his boat, yoo!
Hundred eighty-nine feet. Broke the world record. That's a man. That's with manpower. And that's with just guts and courage. We got a river we're going through. And we're going to cross. And that river is the river of the Holy Ghost. And you're on the boat. And you're ready to go over the cliff. You either die or you get ready. And that's what the Holy Spirit is telling Schiff tonight. You prepare yourself. There's something in you and something on you, that, like this guy, to have that much courage to say, I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. This is a man. Everybody's accolade, but this guy's crazy to do that, to break the record. How crazy are you to break God's record? How crazy are you and you and you? You want revival? Then it has to start here. Like the book of Acts in Acts chapter 9, ask the Holy Spirit to show up and revive your heart. And ask him to do what you can't do on your own power. What he needs to do through you and on you. Only God can do. Pastor, you don't know my place. You don't know my position. You don't know where I'm at. You're right, I don't, but God does. And he's ready to upset and turn this thing upside down inside of you. Now the Holy Spirit warned me, and here's what he warned me about. Couple things. That you're going to be complacent and go, that was pretty cool. Or you're going to jump onto Holy Spirit's agenda and watch something happen inside of you. God wants to do something inside of you, young people. And we've been praying. We've been fasting. We've been hearing Jesus in this room. This room has been bathed in prayer for almost 2 years for a time such as this. Were men that have been called by God's name to walk the campus early in the morning, to walk these streets, and to pray God's agenda on shift. Why would men do this? Because men have been hearing from God that something's on you. And this is what I'm so tired of hearing from the devil. You can't do it. You're not going to be able to do it. Pastor Joseph and the team, they don't know how to do it. They don't got it right. They're misfiring. I'm sick of that. Here's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. He can do it. He will do it. He wants to do it. Are you ready for him to do it? Takes a few. Last time when I was at shift, I saw something in the Spirit. The points of light everywhere. And this is what the Lord has defined those points of light to me. Out of shift is going to be a springboard of revival to the local communities. There will be people showing up in prayer groups. There will be people showing up on the streets. There will be people showing up in small groups. There will be people planting churches. And revival is going to take place from this place right here. Right here. Right here. Us. God's picking you. God's picking us. God's picking shift. Why? Because you're young. You have opportunity. You haven't messed your whole life up. You have a whole world ahead of you. Use it for God. Use it for him. Use it for his agenda. And watch what God does. Watch how he turns everything upside down in your life. But then gives you joy unspeakable. And passion to ignite the world. And now a voice that you didn't have. Credibility that you didn't earn. And power and authority that you use. That's not your own, my friend. That's the spark of revival. The spark of revival is when you see the loss and you're broken. When you see things that need to change and you change it. When you see things in a condition and say, I have to do something about this because it's since settled in my spirit and I'm not going to let it sit this way. I'm sick of seeing this. I want to change it. I want to change it. It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. If you're ready, God's ready. This is kickstarting something so supernatural these next few weeks. Shift, you cannot miss anything that the Lord is going to be speaking from this pulpit. So come back and bring your friends, number one. Number two, there's going to be a message threaded through everything that speakers, we're not sitting down and architecting anything. Holy Spirit's going to thread our message through. And you're going to hear it. You're going to say, wow, that sounds like, yes, that you're going to connect the dots. But it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with a mandate and authority like Paul in Acts chapter 9. Lord, zap me. I'm ready to change. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. Lord, I can't stay with me and my own agenda. It doesn't work anymore. I'm unsatisfied. I need to change. I need to change now. I'm too smart. I'm too wise. I have too much. I have too much inside of me not to give. I need to give it. I can't sit on it. I can't sit and rot in this thing. I got too much education on me. I got too much smarts in me. And I got too much passion for it to sit. I got too much vision. That's where you're at. That's where you're at. That's where we're at. So we're facilitating. There's the river. You're now being ushered over the falls. That's what you're doing right now. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit's pushing you over. Instead of saying, oh, well, that's just the way we do it. That's just the way it's done. This is the training ground. This is the beginning, folks. God wants to do more, just like he wants to do more in all the church. And I believe the Rock Church and World Outreach Center is changing. It's changing. Because God wants it to change. There's a birthing in the Spirit. Some of the things are going to come out of the rock that are going to change the world. These things are going to open up. New doors are going to happen. New opportunities are going to happen. We're going to go to the world to do what God wants us to do. Because there's something in us that God wants to give to the world. That's what you're at. I'm tired of just looking at videos and hearing the Holy Spirit breathe on other communities. And other churches. He needs to breathe here. He needs to do it here. Not just in Hillsong. Not just with Jesus Culture. Not just with Bethel. The Rock Church and World Outreach Center, where the flame of fire is lit. And it stays lit. And it stays lit. Because there are people on fire for Jesus. Not saying they're on fire. They're radically changing how we feed the poor. They're radically changing how we do micro business. They're radically changing how we minister to children and to the broken and to the single moms. They're going over community and they're spreading it like wildfire. That's what's happening here tonight. If you want to be a part of this and you want to sign up for God's agenda, stand right now. Stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're a good God. You're a wise God. You want to do something supernatural. But Father God, we can't manufacture supernatural. We can't pretend no longer. We cannot just have so-called baby God encounters. We need radical God encounters, supernatural invasions of the Holy Spirit. God, to wake us up in dreams. God, to manifest in signs and wonders. God, to ignite something in us that is absolutely a God dream inside of us and in us. And revival starts tonight. And revival starts with me. I settle the score with you, Jesus. It is not my agenda. It's not my passion. It's not my intellect. It's not my smarts. It's you. It's you I need. It's you I want. And I'm ready to change. I'm ready to go down that street to Damascus. I'm ready to go down that street called Street. I'm ready to get knocked on my butt and hear the Holy Spirit say, this is what you must do. I'm ready. You're preparing me. I've been educated for this purpose. I have the wisdom for this purpose. I have God dreams for this purpose. I'm up at night for this purpose. I have things inside of me for this purpose. I have things on me for this purpose. And they are not going to rot inside of me. They're going to come out of me and they're going to flow out of me. And they're going to, I'm going to be used. And I'm going to help people. Not just a little, a lot. You're stirring up things here tonight. Here it is, Lord. We're here. You promised me that the light would shine tonight. And the light of Jesus is shining on us tonight. The light of His fire, the light of His passion, the light of revival is here. Let Him touch you. Let Him touch you. So here's what I want to do. Okay? Here's what I want to do. This is a mandate between you and Jesus. No one can manufacture this. No one can tell you and give you the orders that God can give you. If you need a touch from the Holy Spirit, if you want Him to speak to you, and He wants to, and you're ready to for a God setup, a God invasion, to upset your tables of your own agenda, to upset what you are and where you're headed, to give you a redesigned course in a supernatural life, I want you to come to the altar right now. This is not for salvation. You want divine direction. You're ready to hear from Jesus. You're ready to check in. You're ready to do what God wants. You're ready to hear His voice. Not my will, but Your will. Not my plan, but Your plan. Not my idea, but Your ideas. Not my authority, but Your authority. So Father God, tonight, Lord, as this altar gets filled up, we are asking for the supernatural invasion of the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us and ignite us. This is the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. This is the church of now. This is the generation that's going to live. This is the generation that's going to usher in the next revival. Count me in. I'm in. I want it. I need it. I have to have it. I'm passionate about it. I will die for it. This is Your agenda. This is Your mandate. This is Your purpose. You are the supernatural God. You have authority. What You did to Paul, You can do to me. You can give me the God dreams. I will be obedient. I will execute Your plan. I will go on Your authority. I will go on Your power. I will use Your name for all men. I will come in signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I will bring to Your church a new church. I will bring to Your people a new people. And that starts with me, Jesus. That starts with me, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You're touching Your church. You're touching Your church. This is not emotion. Get that out of your head. This is God speaking to you. He's downloading things. He's giving you God dreams. He's giving you purpose. He's igniting your soul. He's igniting your spirit. He's giving you a passionate heart. He's waking you up. He's waking you up. If you let Him, He wants to. He's dying to. He's dying for you to be woken up. He died for you to be woken up. This is the church that will execute God's coming revival. So prepare your church, Lord. Execute your educational plan. Execute your business plan. Execute your mission plan. Execute your revival plan. Execute your authority. Execute your wisdom. Execute your teachers. Execute your prophets. Execute your those that will go. Ignite! Ignite us! This is not a service to hype you, my friend. This is a service to have a God encounter. Because many blood was spilled. Pastor Jim and Deborah suffered to birth the Church of Jesus Christ here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Now they're flipping onto a new season. And the new season is among us. And there's new leadership. And there's a new focus, and there's new authority, and this authority stretches far and far and wide. We are the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, and this center will be a center to the world. Restoration, salvation, healing, supernatural signs and wonders come. Speak over it, Holy Spirit. Speak on it, Jesus. You do it. You do it. We're not comfortable where we're at. Upset us. Change our agendas. Redefine us. Recalibrate us. And reform us to do the people You want us to be. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, cry out to him. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. Thank you, Jesus. Speaking to you. He's speaking to you, my friend. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. In Jesus' name, anoint him. In Jesus' name, anoint him. Speaking to you. Speaking to you. Speaking to you. In Jesus' name, anoint him. In Jesus' name, anoint him. All over this place, the Holy Spirit is downloading God dreams, visions, and ideas. They're not by accident. Now you're responsible. You're getting pushed over the edge. Revival's coming. Revival's coming. Revival's coming. It might start here at Shift, but revival's coming. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Revival is here. Don't miss it. Revival is here. Don't miss it. Revive our heart. That's what this is about. Take it up. Break it up, Father God. I don't want my own agenda. I don't want my peace, the fragmented life. I don't want my busy life. I want a purposeful life. I want a ready life. I want a sharp life. I want a skillful life. I want a ready life. I want a mandated life. I want to die with leaving something of a dent in this world. I don't want to be a figure. I don't want to be an accident. I don't want to be a walking train wreck. I want to be healed. I want to be restored. I want a clear mind. I want a clear purpose. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Church, here's the question I have to ask you. Are you ready? 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 Yes, Jesus, we're ready. Now tell them, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready, Jesus. I'm ready to take me to the world if you have to. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready, Jesus. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready, Jesus. I'm ready. Now let me forewarn you. Let me forewarn you. Here's the warning. Don't take what God's done here as something like that small. The Bible says don't despise small beginnings. Something happens with a thought that bursts into a plan, that bursts into a process that changes the world. That's where you're at. That's where I'm at. When restoration was brought to the walk, it was a little idea. You're jacked up and you need to be healed. That's what the Lord told me. Get free so you can free others. That's what the Lord told me. And then this plan is going to be executed to the world. That's what the Lord told me. With that two or three phrases, I've been working on it, and I'll work my whole life on it. God's downloading something in you, my friend. He's downloading something in us. I'm telling you, Shift is never going to be the same. You're not going to come on a Friday night just to do church. You're going to open up these doors and all over, feeding people, clothing people, healing people, restoring people. Church, as we know it, is over at Shift. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. No longer. No longer going to settle. No longer going to settle. That means if we went to worship for 3 hours, we will. Oh, my God, we got to get home. That's you guys. You guys are crazy. You'll stay like this guy. He's crazy. He's a young person. He's got what's inside of you. Now he's doing it for the world. He's doing it for the record. We're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it for him. We're doing it for him. That's what's amazing. Lord, we honor you. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing. Just a little. You're starting. Just a little. But you want to do a lot in us. Now come, Lord Jesus, and complete the plan. So as we do what we need to do, download the God dream. Give us something that's so ridiculously amazing that we have to stand back and, oh, and say, oh my God, really? Really? Yes, that's what God wants to do. Great things in us and on us. Now, I can't end the service without asking you, and I'm going to do it right where you're at. No one sit down, no one move. If you